You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Get used to the mantra, all gas, no break.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Turn the Jets podcast. I'm your host, Will Parkinson, at WillPaw11 on Twitter and Instagram. What a night for Jets fans. Huge, huge night. I think it's going to be a turning point, between last draft and this draft. But last night felt, you know, as good as it possibly can to be a Jets fan. Everything kind of worked out the way we kind of had envisioned. I'm pretty happy with hitting both my mock draft picks. Obviously, Zach Wilson was a lock, and I'm not going to brag about that. But I'm very happy about getting Elijah Vera Tucker. So the Jets, obviously, to recap last night for those who kind of were in and out watching, the Jets took Zach Wilson at two, took their time with the pick. Pretty awesome moment between Joe Douglas, Robert Saleh, Woody Johnson, for that matter, and Zach Wilson. Some of the comments, I really loved Robert Saleh's comments to Zach Wilson about how he doesn't have to pick this franchise up. The franchise is going to pick him up and lead him to, you know, having a great, successful career. And Joe Douglas talking about keeping football fun. And it was just something that I thought was a great moment watching Zach Wilson walk out. And look, I defended Sam forever. I love Sam, and I think Sam's in a good place down in Carolina. There was the argument between, we lost out on Trevor Lawrence, and then it was Justin Fields or Trey Lance or Mac Jones. And look, Zach Wilson's a Jet. I couldn't be more excited at this point because I think exceptional talent, especially arm talent, the moxie, confidence, bringing that a little bit of a swagger back to the Jets organization, kind of embodying his head coach and general manager, which I think is super, super important. Played in this scheme. We broke down Wilson over and over again, but I think it was a really exciting moment last night watching him come out, dapping up the people in the crowd, fired up, let's go, right? So that was pretty cool to see as a Jets fan. I thought there was some excitement around the organization last night that we haven't felt in quite some time. And then you pick 14, all of a sudden, you see the board kind of falling the way it did. Justin Fields, didn't go four, but I was pretty spot on with Trey Lance at three. I thought that was a great pick for the Niners. Then you go to four, Kyle Pitts, the highest drafted tight end of all time. The board starts falling out. The Bengals decide to go receiver, drafting that franchise tackle. The Lions took that franchise tackle. Miami, another team, had a great night last night, in my opinion. Pick up Jalen Waddle, who's, in my opinion, could be the next Tyreek Hill. So that's something as a Jets fan you're a little worrisome about, especially with the lack of corners on our roster. But, that's not going to be too down about that because they have to figure out Tua first, right? So the board's playing out. Gets the pick eight, and, the Jets already got Wilson, but now I'm starting to worry a little bit because I don't think the Patriots are going to trade up, but I know they had talked to Carolina. And then, they get to pick eight and all of a sudden Fields is still there. And you're like, oh no, this is going to happen, isn't it? They're going to trade up. And the Panthers end up taking J.C. Horn, a guy that I think me and most Jets fans loved in the beginning of the draft process, hopefully falling to 23 and then murdered his pro day, great interviews, et cetera. And, the Panthers get a elite Stephon Gilmore-like corner at their pick eight. Again, Fields is still on the board. And every single pick you're worrying as a Jets fan, the Patriots are going to get Justin Fields, aren't they? And they don't. And the Bears, for a lack of trying, have tried to get a franchise quarterback similar to the Jets forever. and end up with their guy Justin Fields. I think it's one of the steals of the draft. Yes, did they give up an extra one in 4 and 5? Sure, but if Fields is who I think he is and who I think most evaluators think, that pick's a home run for the Bears, and they're a playoff-ready team now with an exciting, exciting young, you know, quarterback who you could argue some people had as their QB1. So, you know, great night from that perspective. But all of a sudden, there's a slide of tackles, and as I'm watching Fields fall, and I'm watching Mac Jones, for that matter, fall, I guess. I think Mac Jones kind of went in the right range. We'll talk about that in a second. But all of a sudden, you know, Rashawn Slater's still on the board at 13. And I'm like, all right, Jets would probably trade up here because Rashawn Slater's going to be an all-pro level guard or at least a Pro Bowl level tackle if he continues to fall. And the Chargers, no-brainer, have done a fantastic job this offseason of surrounding Justin Herbert with a new head coach and building a wall around him, similar to what we'll get to in a second with the Jets. They take Rashawn Slater, fantastic pick. Totally revamped their offensive line. I think they're going to be a force in the AFC West with Herbert, who put your prop bets on the AFC West, the AFC West young stud quarterback for MVP, because the amount of linemen they've now surrounded him with, new head coach, and the amount of weapons he had and how good he looked last year. If you want to make some money, I'd put in the prop bets now, because I think you'll get some good value there. But with pick 14, the Vikings are up. I'm like, wow, Darisaw's still there, ADT is still there, Tevin Jenkins is still there. The Jets should trade up. Didn't cost a whole lot for teams that had been trading up. So I'm like, all of a sudden I see the Jets' name pop up. I'm like, let's freaking go. They're gonna get an offensive lineman. I thought maybe if they stayed at 23, I really thought it would be edge. Or a Tevin Jenkins at that pick, and then if not, they could go trade back and go skill guy. But they trade up to Minnesota's pick. They give up. They give up 23. So obviously the first round of this year, and then 66 and 86. Both their third round picks, the Jamal Adams pick and their own, and they get back obviously 14, and then they get back Minnesota's 4 this year. So the Jets go up, get Elijah Vera Tucker. He's a guy that I think walks in immediately as their starting left guard for the next 10 to 15 years. Him and Mekhi Becton next to each other, they're going to mash skulls. They are – that offensive line, specifically the left side, is night and day from what the Jets have had since Rickashaw Ferguson, Brandon Moore, Nick Mangold, Damian Woody, Fanica, all these guys, retired or moved on teams, because Vera Tucker's extremely solid. He's – a good rumble. He's good in pass game. He's good in the run game. I think he projected better as a guard than he did as a tackle. And yes, is it steep sometimes to think about, oh, they trade up for a guard? The Jets' guard play has not been good, to say the least. It's probably the weakest point on their team, other that and corner. So they need to address it. All the fans have been screaming for it. We need to address offensive line. Joe Douglas, now back-to-back drafts, has gone Mekhi Becton and Elijah Vera Tucker, taking home run swings at offensive line. And if Vera Tucker is who I watched him at USC for the last few years, he's awesome. I think Jets fans should be really excited. He's a great guy. He's a great football player. And like I said, him next to Mekhi Becton, I could be playing running back and I think get at least 50 to 75 yards a game. So you throw in a guy like who they could potentially add day two, day three, plus with Tevin Coleman, Ty Johnson, P. Ryan, guys like that, should see much more success. And then just protecting Zach Wilson's blind side, with an entire – now that from center to the left side of the offensive line, McGovern should drastically improve with Vera Tucker next to him. McBecton should drastically improve with Vera Tucker next to him. And Vera Tucker should come in and be an instant success and really good because of who he's now got next to him with Becton and McGovern, right? So it all kind of works as a unit. The right side of the offensive line does need to get shored up, and we'll get to that in a second. But the only thing I was worried about is, oh, no, did the Jets just give up a future one? Did the Jets give up 34 and a future two, and they gave up the Sam pick? Like, how did this trade work out? They gave up 2 threes, and then they got a 4 back. So it could have been a lot worse. Minnesota ended up getting their guy. I think Minnesota, the trade worked out for great as well, to be honest with you. But the Jets get their guy. They end up the first night of the draft with their future franchise stud quarterback, which they hope, right? And then they end up with a future absolute stud left guard to play next to their future, hopefully all pro left tackle. That's about as good as you can ask for. The Jets go offensive line and offense back-to-back drafts in the first round I expect them to continue to add to the offensive side of the football. Now, there's a lot of guys available at 34, but we'll just cover Mac Jones real quick because obviously the Patriots make the move with Mac Jones. You know, I don't know how I feel about it. I don't think Mac Jones is a bad prospect. He's going to a team that's very much in win now mode, and they spent a boatload of money in free agency. I expect them to continue to, you know, add to the offensive side of the ball and corner in this draft. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see how him and Cam, that dynamic goes, because Mac Jones is supposed to be that play now guy, right? Trey Lance going three, they have Jimmy G. Trey Lance probably won't play right away, and I think that's great for him. Justin Fields might not start week one, but I expect by week eight he'll have overtaken Andy Dalton and hopefully, for the Bears' sake, take that team to the playoffs and go on a little bit of a run, similar to how Lamar kind of came in for Flacco, and they went on a little run in 2018. So, look, if the worst-case scenario is the Patriots getting Trey Lance or Justin Fields and the Dolphins, you know, ending up with Kyle Pitts. Neither happened. I think Waddle's a really nice player. I think they ended up with Jalen Phillips also, who's a really nice player. And the Dolphins did well, but it's all up to Tua. The Bills, I feel like, reached with their pick. And then the Patriots end up with Mac Jones, which, truthfully, doesn't scare me anywhere near as much as – I'm sure I'll come back to eat my words on this, but it does not scare me the way, you know, Justin Fields or Trey Lance in New England would have. So, I mean, they could not have gone better for the Jets, right? They didn't have to give up a ton to go up and get their guy, Elijah Vera Tucker, who, again, I am pumped about. If you're not pumped about, go watch him absolutely mash goals on YouTube if you haven't already. They get Zach Wilson, which we already knew, but it was a really exciting moment as a Jets fan. And then the board fell so fantastically for them at 34, right? They go into the night, I'm thinking, all right, they're definitely trading back from 34 now. They'll recoup one, if not two, you know, third-round picks to move back in the second round. Now I'm not so sure because maybe they do trade back, right? And there's always that possibility. But, man, I mean, that board is stacked for them. JOK would be a home run at 34 for me. All of a sudden, they run a 4-2-5 scheme half the time in non-running downs, and they can play Mosley and JOK at linebacker. JOK can cover anybody, and now you can play Joyner, Davis, and May all at safety and protect your corners and get after the passer with Q, Rankins, JFM, the list goes on, obviously Carl Lawson, right? So, you know, you look at some of the best players available on the board, JOK is still there. Aziz Ojulari, who I mocked to them at 34, Shotty's still there. I think he's awesome. We'll see if the knee is a problem. That's the one thing I would be concerned about. Offensive line-wise, Creed Humphrey, Tevin Jenkins would take both of them. Rondell Moore, Elijah Moore, explosive playmakers who could add a new dimension, home run threat to this Jets offense. Javonte Williams, if you really want to go running back. There's a lot. There's a million more guys as well we can list. But those are guys that I thought could maybe hopefully be there for the Jets at 34. I thought JOK would be off the board earlier than that. I'm shocked Buffalo didn't take him, I guess. You look at some of the pieces they have on defense, Tremaine Evans and stuff like that. But look, end of the day, as a Jets fan, you look at it three ways. Franchise quarterback, you hope, check, right? Checks all the boxes, should be a home. I think he, with the way the Jets are building this thing and the confidence I have in Saleh, and quite frankly, Joe Douglas to hit this thing out of the ballpark, it can't be understated. We talk about the Adam Gase factor, play calling wise. We talked about it in the locker room. Adam Gase in the draft is not an easy thing either. The guy was manipulative. He could get a control over anything. And I think a lot of those picks in the mid rounds, what I'm hoping is that Robert Mays made this point in the podcast. There's definitely picks that Joe Douglas kind of threw him a bone on, I'm sure. And you don't know the James Morgan pick and things like that. So I'm hoping Douglas and Saleh, that combination, is so confident in themselves that the board played out. Remember the couple things I mentioned on Twitter and I mentioned on the pod on Wednesday, and I think I mentioned it on Monday as well. Meet best player available with need. Wilson met that. Elijah Vera Tucker met that. If they stay at 34, based on who's available on the board, I would expect them, if they go defense, to go Ojulari, who I think I'm sure they had a first-round grade on, and I'll check on that, but he is an exceptional scream off-the-edge guy, and all of a sudden now you can really you know, wind up that defense with Lawson and Ojulari, which I talked about. JOK gives them flexibility and versatility at 34. You know, only playing at 215 and probably could add some weight. He's not Jamal Adams. I would say he's more Jeremy Chinn. He's more Buda Baker. He's more of these guys that can cover and come up in the run game and hit somebody. I don't think he's the opposite where he's, you know, we're going to call him Blitz Boy and et cetera, right? He'd be great value at 34. They could double down an offensive line. They could go a Creed Humphrey and kick him in the guard or kick McGovern in the guard. And all of a sudden, now your offensive line goes from bottom five to we should be at least middle of the road at worst if these guys are only decent. If they're really good, we're all of a sudden a top 10 offensive line. That's pretty exciting. you could go Tevin Jenkins and, you know, kick him in the guard and then play Fant, you know, for 1 year, cut him and move on. You could also add a weapon. There's a lot of weapons available. The Jets were talked about with Rondell Moore. They were talked about with Elijah Moore. Elijah Moore, I'm shocked, didn't go in the first round, to be honest. I thought Green Bay would have been a home run for him. So little shock there. But, you know, Green Bay, again, drafting defense for the 9th out of the 10th last 10 years on defense and not getting Aaron Rodgers more help, even though he wants out. So that was puzzling, to say the least. Elijah Moore, like I said, Elijah Moore, Rondell Moore would be exciting. You could go running back, which I don't think fans would love, but a Javonte there, I think it's probably better value if you don't do that. But and if you did it and trade back, maybe a little different story. You could go corner, Milifonwu. You could go Asante Samuel. There's a lot of options. I just think that the last night was one of those nights as a Jets fan. I didn't have to panic. I felt really good about what Douglas was going to do. I felt even better when he did it. you know, I've gotten some texts and calls. Oh, they took a guard at 14. Yeah, well, they took a guard who's going to play there for the next 10 to 15 years. Next year, franchise left tackle, and they should make themselves awesome. And he was a guy I wanted at 23. He's a guy the Jets mentioned. Joe Douglas said this. He had him in this top 10 on his big board. So if you look at it, the Jets got value at 14, quite frankly, if that's a guy that's on your, you know, in your top 10. They didn't have to give up a ton. Like I said, they gave the 2 third-round picks. Douglas has already talked about trading back into the third round. Whether that means trading back from 34 to recoup picks or using those multiple fours, multiple fives, multiple sixes, the Jets have. I'm excited. Day two should be a fun day. There's a lot of things that happen on day two. Douglas, like I said, if I had to put my money on it, Douglas trades back probably between 5 and 10 picks to get an extra third rounder and then, you know, sees how the board plays out. But if they love somebody, go get them, you know. I'd rather come out of the draft with 4 starters that all contribute right away than 2.5 because you get cute trying to get the extra picks. The Jets have 11 picks next year as well, 2 ones, 2 twos, you know, an extra 4. So they have a lot of assets they can use. The Jets, like I said, me and Joe talked about the other day, getting 4 starters out of this draft minimum, similar to 06, 4 starters and a contributor. Contributor, maybe a special teams guy. Look, last year they kind of technically got 3 starters. I don't really want to count Braden Mann, but they got 2 starters plus Pierron contributed and Ashton Davis contributed. So it's not as crazy as you think, but now you're starting to look at the Jets roster shape out. We'll have you covered. We have some awesome, awesome guests coming up post draft. You guys are not going to want to miss some of these. These are big names, but You're starting to see that offensive line shape out, quarterback position, obviously solidified now. Now go get some pieces to add to the corner room. Corner, weak inside linebacker, both needs on defense. Could always use edge. You want to get after the passer. Robert Saleh prides himself on that. Offensive side of the ball, right guard or right tackle, depending upon who's available. Tight end's an issue. They could add at receiver. They can add at running back. So a lot of picks, a lot of positions to fill, but great night as a Jets fan. People should be pumped up right now. Again, address 2 huge needs, great value on both, you know, based on where the Jets had them. And then the AFC East as a whole, you didn't get totally screwed with Justin Fields in New England. You didn't get totally screwed with Kyle Pitts in Miami. You know, Buffalo, I think, reached at 30. I was a little worried they were going to end up with an Etienne or Najee Harris and kind of terrorize the Jets, even though the, you know, because Buffalo was in a position to take a running back, not Pittsburgh, who has no offensive line, taking a running back, or Jacksonville drafting a running back and then saying, that's going to be their third down guy. So we'll have you covered throughout the weekend. Badlands pod dropping today as well. Continue to watch Connor and Joe. Draft season boards have you covered as well. And then, you know, I'll have a pod drop tomorrow, recapping day two. And then I'll have a full recap pod on Sunday night, recapping day one, day two, day three, where the Jets stand. And then going forward, like I said, huge guest coming on the pod. We'll start to get you ready kind of as the roster takes shape. And then the schedule comes out in 2 weeks. So a lot of really exciting stuff. Make sure to stay tuned. But awesome night. Awesome freaking night as a Jets fan. O-line, quarterback, let's go score some points. And, yeah, we'll go from there. Make sure to continue to follow the pod, subscribe, rate, review. And, yeah, we'll talk to you guys tomorrow night. And, you know, hopefully we'll have some more exciting stuff to talk about. Even Landon Dickerson, by the way, is the guy I left out. But we'll continue to, you know, have more to talk about. And, you know, let's freaking go.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pie: People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Want to learn how you can make smarter decisions with your money? Well, I've got the podcast for you. I'm Sean Piles, and I host NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. On our show, we help listeners like you make the most of your finances. I sit down with NerdWallet's team of nerds, personal finance experts in credit cards, banking, investing, and more. We answer your real-world money questions and break down the latest personal finance news. The Nerds will give you the clarity you need by cutting through the clutter and misinformation in today's world of personal finance. We don't promote get-rich-quick schemes or hype unrealistic side hustles. Instead, we offer practical knowledge that you can apply in your everyday life. You'll learn about strategies to help you build your wealth, invest wisely, shop for financial products, and plan for major life events. And you'll walk away with the confidence you need to ensure that your money is always working as hard as you are. So turn to the Nerds to answer your real-world money questions and get insights that can help you make the smartest financial decisions for your life. Listen to NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.